Welcome to another episode of After Dark with Rob and Andrew on the America Outlaw platform. My co-host tonight is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. Heather, how are you tonight?
Doing well, Rob. Thanks. How are you?
Good. Heather, you know, there is a lot for us to talk about tonight. There's a lot that's taking place or is taking place in the news. But first off, I want to just see how things are going with you and how are you in? Well, did you get a chance to see the eclipse that everyone's been talking about?
Well, I was actually helping a friend that day who needed cataract surgery. Mm-hmm. So I was indoors, I drove him and waiting for him, which turned out to be a long day. So we didn't go outside. And I tend to be a little on the risk averse side, Rob. I wasn't really, if I didn't have the special glasses and stuff, I didn't really feel like looking up and seeing it. Did you see it?
I did see it. I had the special glasses. And I got to say, I was shocked because I really wasn't. It wasn't something that I was like striving to do or wanted to see. I know a lot of people were changing their schedules around. People were flying all over the world just to see it. So a friend of mine had the glasses and I'm like, okay, let me see what will I see. Me thinking I'm not going to be able to see anything, but believe it or not, you actually saw the sun getting dark? And I was amazed. I thought, wow. I mean, I tried to take a picture of it. There wasn't a picture. There's just a bright light. But I did. Mm-hmm. I was able to see it and so many other people. And it did get kind of dark outside Tuesday? Yeah, I think it was Tuesday. Mm-hmm. It did get dark outside just a little bit. But in some, I think in upstate New York, in Syracuse, it did get dark in other places. So it was quite an event. I was, I was okay seeing it. I was satisfied because I didn't think it was going to be. I just thought you won't see anything, but you were actually with the special glasses. You were actually able to see it. And I know that they were telling people, don't look up at the sun because it'll make you go blind. Well, I mean, here's the deal. I've heard that all my life. And even if you were to look up, you couldn't see anything but a big bright light. So like, I don't know how true it was. And they were telling people to be careful, but yeah, I did see it. And that was interesting. Now, what about the earthquake? Cause we haven't spoken since all this happened. Did you experience?
Yeah, I was not in New York, Rob. I was in Pittsburgh. So I didn't experience.
Okay.
But I talked to some friends who did. How about you?
I did. I was sitting in my apartment. And I was actually taken aback by the jarring of my building. I thought my building was going to collapse. So I did. I felt it. And afterwards, I felt kind of nauseous. There's just something about it. I don't know. That was because you can get I've been on Ferris wheels. I've been on all these like joy rides and you feel kind of queasy. But this was a different kind of feel. It was really, I for the rest of the day, I felt like unbalanced for some reason. And it took me like overnight to like, and I heard other people say the same thing. And a friend of mine, I was speaking to her about it. And her take on it was so different. And it gave me reason to pause. And I still think about what she said. You would say that, okay, I felt the earthquake and that was like, a bit jarring and whoa, some people started saying global warming and all this other crazy stuff. But she said, I felt it. It was unusual. She said, but it also gave me a sense that there is a higher power out there. I felt connected to a higher power. Mm. And I've never heard anyone describe an earthquake that way. It's mainly like, oh, I was terrified. I could have died. But she said, I mean, it was almost as if though it reaffirmed her belief system that there is something that's higher out there that's greater than all of us. Mm-hmm. So when I thought, wow, I've never heard anyone explain an earthquake that way before. That she felt as if though she said, I was glad. She said, I'm glad that I felt it because it was a, let me see if I can find her text. Because after she said it, it stayed on me for someone to describe it that way. She said, yes, it was another experience in my life that I embraced and that there is a higher power and it's real. That was deep to me. Because I said, I was asking her, I said, were there any damages? She said, no damages. She said, and yes, it was another experience in my life that I embraced that there are, and that there is a higher power and it's real. It's almost like an affirmation that there's something bigger than us that's out there. And I know a lot of people don't believe that. They think that it's just them, they're the only ones. But that it gave me reason to pause, Heather, when I read that, because everyone else was just saying, yeah, I felt it. I felt kind of nauseous. Or, people in California, some of my friends there, they were laughing, saying, oh, that was it? It's like, yeah, okay, right, fine. We felt something, greater than that. And it was 4.8 on the scale, but her, what she said, I thought was just really, it stayed with me. And it gave me reason to pause and to think, how the world that we're in, you see so much that's happening and it's happening so fast, especially over the past 3 years. Our society has changed so drastically. And I don't think that I would, if I were to go back 2 years and someone were to tell me we would be where we are today, or even a decade, I would say, no, you're crazy. We wouldn't be here. But yet here we are in a society whereby you suspend your imagination, and that's what they want you to believe. They want you to believe that men can have babies, men should compete in female sports, you can change your gender. There are 12 different genders or 36 genders. Even when you were born, the doctors could have possibly made a mistake and said that you were a boy when actually you're a girl. You can think that you are a woman because you think it. You see men in women positions like Richard Levin, and you have an administration that's promoting it. You have an administration that's promoting the murder of babies, no matter what your position is on abortion. You have young women that really don't understand it, and they will go out and vote on a single issue, never mind the fact that the person who's sitting in the White House is a true threat to democracy, a true threat, in my humble opinion, to civilization. But people, we're not supposed to look at any of that because we're supposed to believe that what is right now, what they're telling us, is the truth. And that is the reason why I get on my soapbox and I say that the media in its current form has to be shut down. There was a hearing the other day. I don't know if you saw it, Heather. I think it was Thursday night on the Hill with Katherine Hetridge and Cheryl Atkinson. And they were testifying before a House committee, and they were saying how CBS singled them out. And pretty much the way that because they were reporting on truthful events, fired them. And Katherine Hetridge, whom I think is a great reporter, she used to be on Fox and she moved over to CBS now, was wondering, I'm like, why is she going there? They're not going to let her report the truth. And apparently, when she started reporting on Joe Biden's son, and she really started getting close to the matter and given the facts, she was fired. And they said, oh, well, we fired her because of cuts. Well, why would you fire the top reporter, journalist who knows what she's doing because of you have all these, well, we have to make cuts? But this is the world that we're living in, Heather, and it's so dangerous. And that just goes to the other topic that I want to get your thoughts on, this whole O.J. Simpson. We all know that O.J. Simpson died the other night, other day, Thursday, and we saw all of these reports that were coming in, and even the White House weighed in on it, Heather, during the White House press conference, and Karine Jean-Pierre said that they wanted to extend their condolences to the family. The Simpson family. They mentioned nothing of Nicole Brown Simpson and her family, which doesn't, we shouldn't at all be surprised because you look at what happened to Lake and Riley, they didn't mention her death. And so many other individuals, you look at what happened in East Palestine, they didn't mention, they didn't want to go there, they didn't want to mention, they played it down. And when police officers are killed, they play it down. We had a police officer killed just last week or 2 weeks ago in New York City. Biden didn't even call. Biden didn't even go there. But when Trump went and Trump called, they said he was trying to politicize it. He was trying to make it political. But this is the
No,
world
they
that we
won't.
live in. Go ahead.
Yeah, they won't give him a credit for anything. They're just totally knee jerk. That, they don't study the policy much, and if they do, they don't acknowledge the disaster the policies the politicians they support have wrought on this country, but they know they hate Donald Trump. That's what makes these people feel smart. It's what makes them feel in the know. And I think it's really just at this point kind of a ticket to be ignorant and deny the obvious. You can just deny that the streets are awash with untreated mentally ill people and illegal aliens, some of whom are up to no good, and criminals of various stripes who are being let out in revolving door justice by no justice by district attorneys, radical district attorneys who've been installed in cities across this country. You can ignore that you can barely afford to buy groceries and live. You can pretend and live in la la land, and the answer is to just say, "Oh, I hate Donald Trump. He's such an asshole. So I'm an informed voter." So, if my community's less safe and my family's less secure and there's less opportunity and there's more dirt and mayhem and disorder everywhere, and quality of life is lower, and there are now two wars in the world. Despite Biden touting himself the other day as having run for president, I don't know if you caught this, Rob. He said something like he wanted his legacy to be remembered, that he kept that he changed the life of ordinary people and reduced the prospect of war in the world. Okay, well, now we have two wars raging. And these people, I mean, I'm just they just don't, they're none so blind as they who will not see. They will not see the disastrous consequences of the policies they support. All they care about is that they hate Donald Trump. Well, you know what? The country may have been divided, but the biggest problems, the economy was better, the world was more at peace, people respected and feared America. And all they cared about was that they wanted to get their way. They wanted to get their guy in, and they got him in. And basically, for the most part, everything's worse. The only thing that's not worse, in my perception, Rob, is that the country, there's less internal rioting and mayhem in the country because the left got what it wanted. So they calmed down, they settled down. But life is less prosperous, more dangerous, the whole world's more at war for everybody. And that's what they want, I guess, in order to have their way. They'd rather have themselves and everybody have lower quality of life, less safety, less prosperity, less peace, so they don't have to listen to Donald Trump. It's just stubborn, ridiculous, selfish ignorance at this point. And I don't, I really, I mean, I guess I can understand the concerns about abortion rights. I know some women are spooked, gay rights, but the truth is Trump's not taking that stuff away. He's not that conservative. So, there's really no reason to continue to vote for this kind of terrible, corrupt, inept dysfunction that these Bidens have brought this country and these Democrats have brought this country, and I'm really fed up.
You're not the only person who's fed up. And no, I didn't catch what you said. Biden had said how he wanted to be remembered, because he hasn't done any of that. He's made the country poor. He's made us more divisive. He's made us hate each other more. And to what end? I heard someone say the other day, since we're on the topic of, Biden not being fair and what he's trying to do, destroy the country, they were talking about DEI, and they said that it stood for didn't earn it, didn't earnestly, wait, didn't earn it honestly, or something of that nature. And I thought, wow. And that's what it is. But this administration is pushing it because they feel as if though we have to level the playing field. But that all being said, I brought up O.J. Simpson because you think of where we are in society now. When that case was going on. It was so polarizing. And people were taking sides based upon race. And I heard some people say that she deserved what happened to her. I heard someone say, okay, finally, blacks are winning, although they said that they thought that O.J. Simpson had actually killed Nicole Brown Simpson. Now, to be honest with you, I, for the longest of times, felt that he did not kill her. I felt that he was covering for his son. I felt that he knew who had done it, but he was covering for his son. And, I looked at it and I'm like, no, how could he have possibly killed two people? I mean, I played it out in my head and I said that what happened is that he went there, they got into an argument. He was holding her back because she was in her son's face. The son pulled out a knife, cut her, slashed her throat. And then I said, Ron came in and he slashed him. I really couldn't fit him into the equation, but I always felt that OJ was covering for the son. Years later, when I look at this, yes, when I look at it now, and I wasn't looking at it from the viewpoint that he's black and, he needs to get off because of the things that have happened to black people. I never viewed it that way. But years later, down through the years, as I've looked at it, I can see that he did it. I think that he possibly did it, and he could have gotten a knife that was so sharp. And that was the other thing that I felt, that there's no knife that's so sharp that you can just like swing it and almost decapitate a person, which they said happened to Nicole and Ron.
But he's also incredibly strong,
Right,
keep in
right.
mind he's
So looking at that now through the lens now, and looking, some 20 something years later, and you look at where we are in society, and maybe that is the reason why the Biden administration felt it necessary to extend condolences to this man who's a para, as if though they're trying to, again, appease black people, as if though black people are so stupid and so dumb that they all feel that, hey, here's another one for the black man. Because that's pretty much what they're saying, and not saying it. And they should just come out and just say it, because you can say it anyway. Who's going to hold them accountable? No one's going to hold them accountable for saying, no, we felt that, black people have gone through all this. This is about racism. So who cares? OJ got off, and that's good for him. Those years ago, that was being said. Some years later, the exact same thing, and is not so subtle. This administration is openly racist against white people, against Jewish people, against white men. This administration is openly saying, this is who we are. What are you going to do about it? Not a damn thing. Because we're sitting in the White House and we control everything. You listen to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. And my co-host tonight is Heather Robinson. We're going to continue this conversation on the other side of the break and discuss some other hot topics. Hope you'll come back.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
And we're back after dark with Robin Andrew and co-host Heather Robinson. And when we were at break, Heather and I were talking about my admission that I always felt that O.J. Simpson did not kill Nicole Brown Simpson or Ronald Goldman. I felt that he was covering for his son and not the son that he had with Nicole, because the children he had with Nicole, they were young. I think one was probably 10 and the other 8, but he had an adult son by another marriage. And apparently the way the story goes is that the son had actually gotten to a confrontation with Nicole at Spago's, which was a really high-end restaurant in Los Angeles. And I don't know if that restaurant is still there, especially since Gavin Newsom has taken over. He's now the governor, and he has turned everything into a homeless shelter. He's just completely destroyed the city. And why people would think that Gavin Newsom could possibly run for the presidency, it's like just beyond anything that I could think of. And I think that Republicans should be right now, as opposed to saying that he's going to step in for Joe, they should be attacking him and saying, look at what this man has done. He has destroyed one of our most populous states. He has destroyed it. But instead, they're saying, oh, he's good looking. He's got great hair. He looks like a movie star, and he could be the next president. I'm like, are you serious? I mean, sometimes I question Republicans. I'm like, you should be attacking him. You should be calling out his flaws, calling out the fact that he has destroyed California. Not having some like fantasization over the guy. It's like, are you real? But back to what I was saying about O.J. Simpson. So my thing was that the son had gotten into an argument with Nicole at this restaurant, high-end restaurant, where Ronald Goldman actually worked. Ronald Goldman apparently said that he would escort her home because he felt that, hey, there might be some trouble. So she said, okay, fine. She and Ronald Goldman, I think, were friends. So he took her home.
He was a real scared guy. Yes, yes, that poor kid.
Right.
I feel so bad for Brown. For
Heather, I think you're breaking up a little bit. I don't know if your mic is set.
No, I was just saying, I know that Ronald Goldman was a really great kid. You know, I heard the same thing, that he wanted to help her.
Right. So he escorted her home. And at that point, the OJ's oldest son followed them. He had also called his dad and said, hey, dad, I just saw Nicole and we got into an argument. Why didn't she invite you? I think to Sydney, that was her daughter's name, to Sydney's recital. She had a dance recital. So he said, I'm going over there and I'm going to confront her. I think the story goes that OJ said, don't do it. But OJ went to his wife's apartment, condo, to meet his son. And I think that's where the incident happened. They got into a heated argument. And, you know, one thing led to the next and wham. So I felt that in my mind, the son got there, got into an argument with Nicole. Ronald Goldman said, okay, man, just go home and whatnot. He probably pushed Ronald, and that's when OJ walked up because he saw Ronald trying to, I guess, tussle with the son. This is in my mind, I felt that he pulled Ronald back from his son. At that point, OJ's son pulled out the knife, slashed, Nicole. And then while OJ was holding Ronald, he just did the same thing and slashed him. You know, and almost decapitated him. Now, that's how I played the story out in my mind. They're saying that that didn't happen, that, you know, OJ killed them both. Maybe he did. I don't know. But now that I think about it, I'm like, there is a possibility that could have happened. But I bring that
Yeah,
up.
I think it's Occam's razor, Rob. I think your theory is more creative, but I, you know, from what I recall,
Creative.
you know, there was like, you know, the blood and all that was OJ's, like 99.99% or something like that. The DNA, you know, was the DNA evidence was, from what I recall, very, very damning. And he, you know, he had also beaten her. That I believe that was known at the time of the trial, that he had, you know, was beating her up. It was obviously a horrible relationship. He was, you know, clearly in a state, you know, of needing to control her. And yeah, I mean, I just today I felt very bad for the families of, you know, Nicole Brown and that young man, Ron Goldman. I remember seeing his sister interviewed years ago and, you know, her talking about their anguish as a family that, you know, all those years without their brother, he was very young and, you know, lost his life. And, you know, he, like you said, he was doing a favor, I think, for Nicole. I had heard that he was also bringing her glasses, that she had left behind some glasses in the restaurant. I know you said you heard he was escorting her, but at any rate, there was something he was doing that was a favor to her. And, you know, he talked about just an outrageous, outrageous stroke of unbelievably bad luck. You know, he was just there. And I just, yeah, I think about that family a lot. I think about, you know, what that, the horror and the injustice of that and what that must be like, you know, to live the rest of your life seeing this person who, you know, who took your loved one's life and you know, be, you know, a hero to many people still. It must be anguish beyond anything I can imagine, honestly. And, you know, as far as OJ himself, I mean, what a colossal fall. I mean, from grace, from greatness, you know, someone with such talent, such drive, you know, it's almost a kind of Greek tragedy, someone, you know, like that, who had the world, to have such a deeply, horribly flawed character that was his downfall. It's an American tragedy, to be sure.
Well, I think that's what we see right now in today's society with everything that's happening and going on. But I think the parallels then and now is that it's openly the racism that we see is so open and being played out. And for this administration to come out and say, to even acknowledge what happened, I'm without words. And this is just proof that the Biden administration is indeed corrupt. And they're playing to a base. They're playing to black people. And there are a lot of black people that did not like O.J. Simpson. A lot of black people felt that he did do it. And a lot of black people were turned up by O.J. Simpson because O.J. Simpson, back then, when he started getting all his fame and popularity, they would say, you know, how could you do this as a black man? He'd say, I'm not black, I'm just O.J. And they felt that he turned his back on the black community. And they said that, you know, now that he's in trouble.
Right. Then he wanted the community's loyalty, and he got it. He got it, but he didn't do any favors for them when he was flying high, from what I remember. And I know a little bit about that because he used to hang out. I mean, look, everybody has the right to hang out with whoever they want, you know. But I know some people who he used to hang out with in Florida, and you know, he was very much kind of rolling with a certain type of crowd that was, he just, yeah. I mean, I don't think he really went back and, I mean, correct me if I'm mistaken, Rob, because I don't know this for a fact, but I don't have the impression he did much for the black community in any way, you know, or return to help them or, you know, lift up young people. Or, you know, I think he was a high-flying, materialistic sort of guy, you know, before he did that. And then, yes, then he kind of nevertheless was embraced by certain, you know, elements of his own, of Black America, which always surprised me a little.
Well, that is true. That's what happened, is that a lot of them felt that he turned his back on them, that he didn't do a whole lot. But then after this happened, you know, they created this person who they tried to make seem as though he had all these ties to the Black community. And most of the jurors mm-hmm. were Black, and some of them even said that they weren't going to find him guilty. And this happened in, of all places, liberal California. But I think they were becoming more liberal at the time, because, you know, we just had Reagan had been the president prior to that, and they had had a Republican governor. But again, fast forward to today, and you look at the similarities as to what's happening now, coming out of this White House, this divisive White House that deals nothing but race. Everything is about race. If they want to shut you down, they turn it into race. And they have been successful. They've been successful in playing the race card, which has many benefits. It has many benefits, and it has benefits that will never expire. And I think at some point it has to be expired. We did a show once with the Pastor Hawkins, and who talked about the race card and how it needed to be retired and all of its benefits, because it's being played too much by this administration, and just to, so they think, appease Black people. We hear that Biden mm-hmm. is possibly hemorrhaging Black votes. Now, I don't think all Black people are going to just go out and vote for Donald Trump, although they should, because what has Joe Biden done for Black people? But keep them on a dependency role. That's it. Which is the same thing that LBJ had done back in the 60s with the Great Society plan right. that he had.
That's when it started. That started the welfare.
Right. Ushered in all mm-hmm. these welfare social programs that have Black people have been on for almost 60 something years.
And
they're still there.
Public housing, which is a thing where people don't really have any equity in their homes, or, you know, there's that, you know. I mean, I remember not long ago I was at the Carnegie Art Museum here in Pittsburgh, and there was an exhibit about that time, and they showed the Hill District here in Pittsburgh, which was a Black neighborhood, still is. And then there was all this sort of cant and rhetoric about how there was going to be a new great society. And, you know, instead of this poor neighborhood that was so overcrowded, people would be in new buildings and public housing that would be, you know, more progressive and spacious. And anyway, as I looked at the pictures, I saw the pictures of the people. You know, yes, things were crowded, and I'm sure it wasn't easy, but people were mostly dressed nicely. They were, you know, in these pictures that were supposed to show how terrible, you know, the Hill District was and the need for this, you know, great society. The people, to me, looked more... they looked, Rob, I don't want to seem out of touch. I like some Karen or something, like I'm saying, oh, everything was Shangri-La. I'm sure it wasn't. You know, I'm sure that it was hard. I'm sure there was racism and poverty. But the people, the dignity of the people and the way they dressed the children. And, you know, people were posing for the pictures. And yes, they were overcrowded conditions. But they didn't, nobody looked disheveled. Nobody looked, you know, terribly disorganized or hopeless. You know, I think their community was healthier before this great society came in, you know, and started moving people around and putting them in government facilities and breaking down what had been, you know, a poor but decent neighborhood. That was my opinion, my impression looking at these pictures. And like I said, it was an exhibit that was supposed to capture a moment in time. I'm trying to remember who the photographer was, but it was all supposed to be about this moment of progress. And I'm thinking, you know, from where I sit, it looks like people, you know, it looks like this community was better off before the government started trying to re-engineer it with all these, you know, bright ideas that wound up, you know, eroding the sense of community. You know, it's like I saw in those pictures more what looked to me more like, you know, a community that had ties and dignity and, you know, a life. It didn't look like a hopeless sort of set of portraits. And I think that, yeah, I just think that all this intervention, you know, sometimes, you know, well, the meddling in a lot of areas of life, you know, whether you're talking about people's personal lives, other countries' affairs, you know, I think Ralph Waldo Emerson had a quote saying something like, the scariest words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you.
And we know that's a dangerous thing. And even Ronald Reagan even said that when you see the government coming, run the other way. Yet and still, that's what happened, you know, some 50 odd years mm-hmm. ago. And we fast forward and we look at where we are today in society and some of the things that we're encountering. And clearly this administration has no intention of releasing Blacks from that mental plantation that they put them on, thinking that the government is going to save you, and the government is doing anything but save them. The government has become almost like some type of alcohol that they're drinking, and they can't, an addiction. That's what I'm looking for, an addiction that they can't get rid of. And then you mentioned about the housing, public housing created that back in the 60s, and you have a lot of Blacks that are living in public housing, unable to go out and buy their own homes to create equity, which would give them wealth. That's like completely foreign to a lot of them, thinking, oh, well, the government is going to take care of me. The government is going to do that. No, the government is going to make certain that you stay on the dole, you stay on the roll, and that you keep coming back to them for more and more and more, a dependency that cannot be broken. And which is really unfortunate. But then when you look at what Biden has done, this administration has done to the housing market, and you look at all these companies that are buying up houses so that people can't buy, that whole thing of having a house and a white picket fence has just like gone out the window because people can't afford it anymore because of the policies of this administration. So I can't see how people would even vote him back into office. And they're not even looking at him. They're looking at single issues. And he can't even tell you what he's done. He's busy trying to demonize Trump. Oh, Trump is going to come back. Trump is a racist. And Trump is doing this. It's like, wait a minute. Stop talking about Trump and talk about what you're going to do. He can't do it. The media won't do it because they know that he has done nothing but divide us and to tear down this country. And if people don't wake up, he will be successful in his mission to continue to tear down the country. It won't be make America great again. It'll be keep destroying America over and over and over. You listen to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Outlaw platform. And my co-host tonight is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. Hope you'll come back for the last half of the show.
Well, the year 2024 must be the year of the Patriot, and AmericaOutloud.news will equip you with all the information you need to give new meaning to the words Patriot Act. For our actions always ultimately define our words. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all. Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutloud.news, a place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe, air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is X-L-E-A-R.com.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill, it's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
Head to the last half of the show, and we're going to talk about just current events, things that are taking place. And one of the things that I want to cover is the news that just recently came out about the hostages that Hamas has held since October 7th. We know that there has been a push by this White House to get Israel to pause, cease fire in Hamas so that, I guess, Hamas doesn't get stronger when they cease fire, because I don't see a reason behind it. But there has been a push for them to cease fire. There has also been a push for Israel to come out of the Gaza Strip, and they came out, I think, of the southern part. Why, I don't know. But again, this is all the Biden administration wanting this to appease, I think, a fraction of voter in Michigan who happen to be Muslims. So go figure. I don't know. You have like 300 million people in the United States, and he's looking at a small fraction of a group, which is very concerning that he's going to bend the knee to them. And we've spoken about this before, how the Jewish community have just like given everything over to the Democrat Party, just like black people. It's time for Jewish people to wake up, because the Democrats care nothing for you. They will hang you out to dry. But that being said, what are your thoughts about this story that came out that they believe that most of the hostages, if not all the hostages that they've held since October 7th, are dead? And you don't hear Hamas saying, we're going to release them. So what are your thoughts?
I think it's a nightmare, Rob. And I mean, if that's true, I don't know why. I mean, Israel is holding back at all. I just think, you know, this whole thing, I mean, easy for me to say, I guess, because I'm not the one who's making the calls. And, you know, from the start, I just felt that the absolute demand of the entire world, and certainly Israel, should have been, give our people back now or else. People are not currency. This is not going to be tolerated. There will be no negotiation. This is unprecedented, this level of vicious, sadistic terrorism and grabbing civilians off the street. Give them back. You have 24 hours, or we don't want to hear any crying about the humanitarian problems. I thought there should have been a hard line from the start. I think any kind of negotiation that does not demand a total release of these hostages should be dead on arrival. Any humanitarian who claims to care about the Palestinians, how can they not also demand release of these hostages? I mean, I care about civilians on both sides. I actually do care about children. on both sides. But I mean, you cannot demand one without the other and be any kind of sincere humanitarian. And I just think that, you know, it's a travesty that Biden, as the American president, sits there, doesn't say a word about how they've held numerous Americans. I believe until recently, there were 5 Americans being held. He doesn't say a word about it. That doesn't concern him. It's just disgusting the way we pander to these terrorists. I don't know what this country and Israel are waiting for. I think that, you know, Iran, the Iranian regime, I'm not talking about all the Iranian people, they have been a bad actor for how many decades now, since 1979, grabbing our people, bombing our ships, funding these vicious proxies to brutalize our allies. And we sit here as the biggest, strongest country in the world and take it. And I don't know why. Not only does we not strike them, we give them money. You know, I don't understand all the details, but Biden unfroze money that was being held in Iraq. It was being handed it over to Iran. It's just appeasement, you know. And we're big and tough when it comes to Russia. Russia, okay, yet granted, Russia is holding one of our citizens. Putin may be a thug and a gangster, but he's not bombing our ships. He's not coming here. You know, I'm really sick of all this tough talk, funding other people to do things halfway across the world. We need to attack the people who are attacking us. We need to put them out of business. We need priorities in this country. Everything Joe Biden has done, every major policy, I'm going to say right now, we should be doing the exact opposite. You know, we are funding a war, okay, that is a stalemate against another enormous nuclear armed country, Russia, that shows zero indication of winding down or any path to victory. That one we're supposed to fund without end. But the other war, which was started by a wildly vicious mass attack on civilians of our greatest ally, that war, Israel's war against Hamas, has a limited achievable goal. But that one we are supposed to stop funding. We're supposed to condemn our ally before they achieve an achievable objective. These policies are exactly ass backwards. They are illogical from where I sit. You know, there is no winning against Russia. They've got nuclear weapons. This is their backyard. It wasn't our fight from the start. I said it 2 years ago. It's not ending anytime soon. It's a total stalemate that we have to fund endlessly, according to Biden. But Israel, all Israel's trying to do is get this specific monstrous terrorist group and contain its goal to that, which is achievable, but they have to be condemned. This man is, you know, like I said, I don't know as much about the economic side. I know the economy is terrible. People can't buy a home. They can't buy groceries. They can't get ahead. I know the streets are unsafe. I basically think pretty much everything he has done and is doing should be reversed pronto. I think he is ruining this country. The only legitimate reason I can imagine anybody possibly voting for him is, you know, maybe some of these women who are spooked about abortion, but I really wish they would understand that for abortion rights to be handled by the states is not a national ban. You know, there is some kind of reasonable compromise that's maybe the best we can do. Trump isn't a total ideologue on this subject. There is absolutely no other reason to vote for Joe Biden. He is running this country into the ground. I don't know. What do you think, Rob?
You know, everything you said it perfectly. He's running the country into the ground. And this one single issue about abortion that's spooking women, people need to wake up. They need to wake up because Joe does not care. Joe, he's not even running things. There are people that are behind the scenes. And for the media to sit back And to keep playing this up as if, though, oh no, Joe, he's powerful, he knows what he's doing, it's all a lie. He does not know what he's doing. He's going to get us all killed. Remember when Trump was in office and they kept saying, oh, Trump, he's running and walking around, he's angry in the White House, and he's doing this and the other thing. That was all Joe. I remember Joe Scarborough talked about it nonstop. It's like, Joe, you're mad because you haven't been invited to the party. But now all this that they're saying, this is Joe. Joe's doing this. Joe's son, Hunter Biden, has white privilege. And then we heard about the tapes that were released, the diaries that were released from Joe's daughter, Ashley. And they the FBI to go in and to confiscate the diaries. Now, had this been Trump, Rachel Maddow, and everyone else, oh, we've got our little hands on this and we're going to read from it. I mean, it angers me, Heather. It really does, to see how the media has just completely disintegrated to protect one man and go against another. This is unreal. Yeah. I look at my journalism degree and I want to just throw it in the garbage can. I'm like, it's meaningless. Because everything that we were taught and trained on, they're doing just the opposite. Mm-hmm. They are doing just the opposite.
It is bizarre. They live in their own world. I mean, they, you know, the other day I was, you know, here in Pittsburgh, I was walking down the street, and I mean, I've already experienced this several times in New York. There was a man running absolutely unhinged, throwing garbage cans, tearing off his shirt, charging at passersby, threatening people, out of his mind. You know, I mean, I don't know if he was illegal or legal here. He looked like a Hispanic guy. And I mention that only because we know that there's been now finally a dawning awareness on people of this country that we cannot accept anybody and everybody streaming across this border with all kinds of drugs and illness and problems and crime and trafficking. I mean, the whole thing was crazy from the start, but I mean, this isn't even New York, this is Pittsburgh. You know, I see absolute mayhem in the streets. Somebody's just got to get tough with, you know, these policies and get the country back under control.
And that somebody Heather, is not going to be Democrats. They're not going to do it. They're simply not going to do it because they seem to enjoy all of the craziness that we're encountering. Just the other day, you had the former CEO of NPR come out to say that NPR deliberately went after Trump. Deliberately tried to sideline him, deliberately tried to make him out to be the boogeyman. Mm-hmm. And what for? The press is supposed to hold these politicians accountable. No one is holding Joe Biden accountable. No one is calling him out in his position on Israel. And now they're saying that there's a possibility that those hostages are dead. And we spoke about this on the show. Then to find out that Christopher Wray is going before the Hill and saying, you know, we better watch out because there might be an attack here in the U.S. just like similar to the one in Moscow in Russia. Mm-hmm. Everyone is quiet about it. The media isn't saying anything about it. But you know what the media is talking about and what they're trying to create a groundswell over is the murder of the black man in Chicago who was trying to kill police officers after they told him to get out of his car. He decided, oh, I'm going to fire on the police officers. And now you have his mom saying, oh, my son, he was such a good boy. No, he was not a good boy. He died the way he lived. Let's just be honest.
And what about all the black children who are getting killed in the crossfire of the
gang in Chicago?
Or are the grown men who get into conflicts with the police, their lives are the ones that matter over the children's lives?
Well, you look at George Floyd.
I'm not saying everybody's life matters. Yeah, I know. And I think what happened to him was terrible, but I'm just saying, I mean, to me, in terms of the way I think, though, it's not that somebody's life matters more than somebody else's, except when it comes to children. I will say I care more about the children than I do about the adults in this world. I do. And I think all adults should. I think we should prioritize their safety, number one. they haven't even lived yet. So, you know, you want, at least you get to grow up. You know, I'm sorry if things go bad, you get in fights with the police, which I wouldn't advise doing. It doesn't mean you deserve to be tortured to death and that there isn't such a thing as police brutality and that there shouldn't be reform. But it means that, number one, we need to prioritize controlling the out of control crime in this country. That doesn't mean we brutalize people, but it means you can't just treat criminals with, you know, feathers and maple syrup. I don't know. I mean, you have to have law enforcement to protect the children and the innocent of the country. To me, that comes ahead of, you know, grown people getting in fights with the police. I mean, am I crazy? I think the same thing about the Middle East. I mean, you know, I mean, we should be concerned, first of all, for the lives of children. I'm not sitting here crying about, you know, the Palestinian adults who want to pick fights with Israel and do terrorism. You know, I think the world should evacuate the children if they care so much. And I would even support that, you know, because I just think this whole thing is a lie. I mean, a lot of these people who claim, you know, that they're, you know, make these humanitarian claims, I don't really see them prioritizing the most innocent, who are the children, you know, whether it's in the inner city, whether it's in Gaza. You know, I mean, Israelis do, Americans generally do. We try to protect our kids. That should be the focus, not somebody's political agenda. You know, that's what really angers me, you know, is that we hear, you know, yes, Black lives do matter, of course, but what about Black children's lives? Don't they matter the most? Because these are children who haven't even had a chance to live and grow up and make choices. At least if you're an adult, you know, even though I'm not saying you deserve something bad to happen, but at least you have a choice. You know, at least you have some agency in a situation. You can try to, you know, get along with people. You can try to avoid crime. You can try to, you know, I mean, as a child, what can you do? You're just, you know, you're caught in the crossfire. Those people, you know, really deserve society's protection most, I think.
Well, Heather,
I don't know what
right.
You think, Rob.
No, you're right. You're 100% right. We've been talking about this, you know, nonstop, that the children, what about the children? And as I mentioned, the man who was killed in Chicago is his own fault. I don't care what his mom says. She can put on the theatrics. I'm sure that she's hurt that her son is dead, but her son was responsible. Okay. And they had the video cam on to show exactly what happened. But of course, the media is going to try to turn this into a race thing. And no one, as you mentioned, is going to be concerned about the children that are being killed day in and day out in Chicago. Unfortunately, we're all out of time. You've been listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. Glad you could join us. And as my dear friend Andrew would say, stand for something or fall for nothing. Heather, thank you for coming on. And we will be back tomorrow night. Thank you. Good night. God bless America and God bless Israel. Thank you.